If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, where we help you take control of your genes so you can live the youngest possible. Gary Ginsberg, my favorite part of the show, whatstoxic.com. Gary, before we get to the new story you have that isn't even tweeted out because it's so new, I want to talk about the haunted houses and what university researchers are doing in them.
One of the SUNY schools upstate New York in Potsdam, a bunch of researchers there came up with the idea, and this is a very novel, out-of-the-box, thinking-out-of-the-box kind of idea, but that haunted houses may appear haunted because of mold. So what could be the connection is that some mold spores can be hallucinogenic. And we know that if you eat at high enough doses, if you eat ergot alkaloids that could be on moldy rye bread, that has caused people to have visions, sometimes religious visions, if through history. And so some of the seeing Jesus in you know, like in a cloud or something, that could have been from the bread the person ate 5 minutes before that. However, in this case, these researchers believe that they may find in these old haunted houses a lot of must, a lot of mold, and they're going to try to draw a connection or see if there's a connection between haunted houses and mold on the theory that old haunted houses probably have a lot of mold in them and that some mold spores may be hallucinogenic. How do you like that one?
Wow. So this is like the Beatles song on LSD, if you will. Just going into the haunted house gives you visions because the molds produce these things that cause, if you will, hallucinations.
My suspicion, Mike, is that they might find some theoretical links, but I think the dose has to be pretty high. And only when people have ingested moldy bread so far has it had immediate psychotropic effects. So I wouldn't suggest people who want to go on a trip start growing mold on the rye bread, but, you know, that has...
And there's other stuff that could grow, and there's other stuff that could grow on the rye bread instead that'll kill you, such as we'll talk about with the listeria outbreak.
Trip, I'd say put gas in the car and go to the Grand Canyon. That's a lovely trip.
We'll talk about a gas in the car and alcohol in the car. There's an interesting story about alcohol in the car.
Yes, alcohol and driving certainly don't mix, especially when it comes to bed bugs. So here's an anecdotal story of a guy who rented a car in Florida. And it turns out on his trip up north with the car, he discovered that it was infested with bed bugs. And nobody wants to bring bed bugs home with them or on a business trip with them from Florida. So he read somewhere that bed bugs don't like to be dosed and doused with alcohol. So he buys rubbing alcohol. He laces the upholstery of the car where the bed bugs are living with alcohol. I mean, he saturates it. Then he dries it out a bit so he can sit in the car. Probably sits on a mat or something. And then he smokes a cigarette with the windows closed. The car ignites. He gets out of the car. The car blows up. It takes out two other cars in the parking lot with him. So three cars go up in flames because of bed bugs.
It really proves that smokers are dumb.
Well, in that case, that's a chicken and egg question, because does smoking make you dumb, or are only dumb people smokers?
Yeah, that's both. Okay, now, let's go back to, obviously, there are people addicted and congenitally addicted to smoking, and it's one of my favorite things is helping them get out of it. But
right,
let's go...
Mike, let me go back to the bed bugs concept for a second. And when you go to a hotel room, normally you don't have to check a car, but when you go to a hotel room, especially if you're not quite sure it's a top-rated chain, but even some of the top-rated chains, you want to look at under the pillows, under the sheets, and just see if you see any inky-looking lines that might be bedbug-related. So especially in places like New York City or Florida where bedbugs may be more
prevalent. And what do you do if you see them?
Tell the management, ask for a different room, go to a different hotel. If it's 11 o'clock at night and this is the last room in the city, you might not have much choice, but to keep your fingers crossed.
And don't open up any, if you're going to if you're going to be there, you sleep in the nude, meaning don't open your suitcases so the bedbugs can't get in the suitcases.
That's
take the suitcases right back to the car. Take your clothes
You don't want to bring them home. That's a mess. Exactly.
Right. And now, what should the guy have done in the car? What should he have done to the car?
Bring the car assuming it was a chain, bring it to the nearest drop-off point and say, I need a different car, and you guys have to fumigate this thing.
But what happens if it isn't a rented car? What happens if it's his own car?
If it's your own car, I would bomb it with a pesticide and then completely air it out, because pesticide treatments are the way to go. The other is steam, very hot treatments to kill bed bugs, and then stomp them. Don't use the car for about 3 weeks and they will die because they have no blood to feed off of.
So if no one's in there to give them blood, then they die.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's the best idea. Now, let's go back to another story. A top weed killer could cause cancer, written about in Lancet Oncology. Should we be scared, and what should we do about it?
Okay, so the chemical is Roundup or glyphosate. It is the top-selling weed killer worldwide. When people talk about GMO and controversies with genetically modified, it's because the crops are modified so that they'll be resistant to glyphosate, so that you could use as much of it as you want. As the weed killer kills the weed, doesn't kill the crop. So it is the GMO chemical. And now, suddenly, after years and years and years of research and testing for the World Health Organization, to say that it is a carcinogen is major headline news. The chemical company that makes it is fighting that decision. It's been positive in about 3 or 4 mouse and rat studies, causing blood vessel tumors, kidney tumors. However, its potency is pretty low. Those studies are high-dose studies. The human epidemiology data has not been positive on it. Doesn't mean that it can't cause human cancer. Epi studies are notorious for being weak. But nevertheless, there's a lot of concern about pesticides and cancer. And so when you're in sensitive environments like a school, a daycare center, your own backyard, I would say, leave the Roundup to agribiz. You don't need that in your backyard to kill weeds. Enough questions about it.
And now what about, this is interesting, does it get into the food supply in other ways? In other words, how well is it broken down, or does it stay if we wash it off into our lakes and rivers and it keeps coming back?
No. It's not one of those persistent ones. It breaks down pretty readily. The residues are going to be really low in food, so that's not the concern. The concern would be more like lawn treatments. They might treat you, if you hire the company to treat your lawn, might have a weed killer in it that you might not want to have if you've got little kids. So I would just say, cut down on weed killer around the parks, around the schools, and in your front yard, given this new news about glyphosate.
Now, do you have time to stay on with us in the next half hour for the next first 5 minutes or so to talk about autism is linked to air pollution and the latest CDC data on ice cream and listeria?
So I could stay on for just a couple more minutes.
Great. So we will do that as soon as we come back from the break. We're going to talk about that in 20 seconds. You think you can talk about autism and air pollution?
Yes, I can do it certainly in under a minute anyway.
Well, we'll do it when we come right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. The goal is for you to stay well. The goal for us in this show is for you to be able to get younger and more informed. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Gary Ginsberg.